I think it's time for some good news, because there's been a lot of bad news lately. In fact, I pulled these headlines from the Toronto Star in the last 2 weeks. Woman, gunman, dead in Montreal school rampage. 1.5 million Canadians living in poverty. Windsor hit the hardest. Ford Motor Company to cut another 1,000 jobs in southern Ontario. Harper admits Canada engaged in a war. There's a lot of bad news at present, but there's been a lot of bad news in the past. In fact, the first half of the first century, there was a lot of bad news because the Roman Empire dominated the world and ruled everybody with an iron fist. And non-Romans were either enslaved or they were oppressed. Disease and poverty were widespread. Political and religious corruption poisoned the society. And it was against that backdrop of bad news that Jesus Christ walked into the local synagogue. He picked up a copy of the scriptures, he turned to the prophet Isaiah, and he read aloud these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus Christ announced good news to the world of his day. And it's my privilege to come before you and announce the same good news to you today. It's the good news that Jesus offers you forgiveness of sin, freedom from spiritual suffering and oppression, and the favor of God. Have you ever wondered what's wrong with us? Surely you wondered that when Kim Vier Gill walked into the Dawson College at lunchtime and opened fire with an automatic weapon, killing one person and terrorizing others. Do you remember New Year's Eve 1999, when we were right on the cusp of a new millennium and we were so excited about all the prospects of celebrating the new millennium and what it could mean to the world? And within a year and a half, the world exploded when those planes hit the towers in New York and our world erupted in terrorism and war. And we take the golden opportunity for prosperity in the Middle East and we blow it up through sectarian violence and tribal hatred. We take the brilliant medium of video conferencing, which can train medical surgeons in third world countries, and use it for pornography. We take life-saving drugs and turn them into life-enslaving addiction. What's wrong with us? There seems to be a dark side to the human race. For everything wonderful, there seems to be an evil counterpart. We can probe the deepest secrets of the universe and push back the frontiers of technology, but we can't get along with other people, not even the people within our own families. We can't break self-destructive habits. And our whole world is filled with racism, injustice, hatred, violence, heartache, and death. What's wrong with us? Is it poverty? Do we just need more money? Is it ignorance? Do we just need more education? Does the human race have some sort of psychological dysfunction? The Bible says there is something wrong with us, and it's a heart problem. Jesus said, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." That which is wrong with the human heart, the Bible calls sin. And the Bible says all of us are sinners. We were born that way. And sin eats away at us like a spiritual cancer. Sin separates us from God. It destroys our life's purpose. It deforms our character. It divides us from each other. And in the end, it's sin that condemns us to hell, which is why Jesus came. He came to announce the good news that he can fix the human heart. Jesus said he alone had the authority on earth to forgive sin. The Bible says he is the only God and the only Savior. There is none other. He can give you a new heart, and he can put a new spirit within you. Through his death on the cross and through his resurrection, he offers you forgiveness of sin and eternal life. There is good news. Today, you can have a new heart. Today, you can have a heart that is cleansed and forgiven of any sin, of all sin, of past sin, of present sin, of future sin, of little sins, of big sins. There is good news. Jesus has come to offer you, through his shed blood on the cross, forgiveness of sin. Secondly, Jesus has come to offer us good news of freedom from suffering. Why do we suffer? I don't know. We seem to fix one social problem only to have a worse one pop up in its place. We have poverty, famine, pollution, disease, racism, war, genocide, murder, ethnic cleansing, child abuse, pornography, and the list goes on. I don't know why God allows bad things to happen to good people, to innocent people, to defenseless people, to helpless people, to children, to you, or to me. Why do the good die young? Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the godly perish? I don't know the answers to those things, but I do know this. I know that God never intended the world to be that way. And one day the Bible says that God will set it all right, and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness, and a new heaven and a new earth where there'll be no more crying or pain or suffering or death. Ever again, the old things will be passed away and everything will become new. In the meantime, before we get to that new heaven and that new earth, we all have problems and we all suffer to one degree or another, don't we? In fact, right here in Toronto, home to the Canadian Stock Exchange, the most multicultural city in the world, you have a free society, a robust economy, people suffer and have problems. I've never met anyone, Canadian or otherwise, doesn't matter how successful the person is, who doesn't have problems at one level or another. The trouble is that we try to escape our problems in sometimes ways that create more problems. We try to escape through taking drugs or drinking alcohol or committing suicide or engaging in criminal activity or just running away through pursuing pleasure or success or fame. Or we try to buy our way out of problems. Or we try to lie our way out of problems. And often our ways of escape just lead to more complicated sets of problems, don't they? And we actually increase our suffering. But today, there is good news. Jesus offers freedom from suffering. Not necessarily physical suffering, but the suffering of the human spirit. Suffering that we label boredom, guilt, shame, bitterness, loneliness, emptiness, helplessness, hopelessness, fearfulness. The Bible says that Jesus understands the feelings of your suffering and mine. He feels your pain. He knows what it's like to hurt physically and emotionally and spiritually and mentally. The Bible says that Jesus has come to bind up those who are broken. He's come to bind up your broken heart and your broken home and your broken hopes, and your broken dreams, and your broken lives. You can find him in the midst of your suffering if you seek him with all of your heart, because he wants to be found by you. Jesus loves you, and he longs to help you. He alone can give you his peace in the midst of your storm, his hope in the midst of your despair, his comfort in the midst of your grief, his strength in the midst of your weakness, his wisdom in the midst of your confusion, his presence in the midst of your loneliness, his joy in the midst of your pain. Today, there is good news. You can be set free from the oppression of the human spirit. Jesus has come to offer you freedom from suffering in your spirit. Thirdly, Jesus has come to announce the good news of favor with God. It's been said that death is the forbidden subject of our generation. The average person lives as though they're never going to die. Violence on television, violence in the movies, violence in the news, violence on video games has made us numb to death. And yet, on the other hand, modern medicine and attention to health issues have prolonged human life until death seems to be a remote possibility. We seem to postpone it indefinitely. Yet the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then to face the judgment of God. C.S. Lewis said that war doesn't increase death because death is total in every generation. King Solomon said there is a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. At some point in time, you and I are going to die. Do you ever think about your own death? And when you think about your own death, are you filled with fear because of what comes next? Are you afraid to face God? Are you afraid because you are afraid he won't accept you? The Bible says that God will accept you according to the good pleasure of his will when you place your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. Today could be the day of your salvation if you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The choice is yours. God's acceptance of you when you die is determined by your acceptance of his Son while you live. I'm going to repeat that. God's acceptance of you when you die is determined by your acceptance of his Son while you live. To illustrate this, there's a true story of a little boy years ago living in London, England, who heard that the great American evangelist, Dr. D.L. Moody, was coming to preach, and he wanted to hear Dr. Moody. So he came to the church that evening where Dr. Moody would be preaching, and he ran up the steps, he came to the front door, went to open the door, and the doorkeeper grabbed him and asked him where he was going. The little boy said, "I'm going inside the church, I want to hear Dr. Moody preach." And the doorkeeper looked at the filthy little boy and he said, "Not you, you're too dirty to go inside." So the little boy tried to find another way inside the church, and he couldn't, so he came back on the front steps, he sat down, he began to cry, he was so disappointed he couldn't get inside the church. Just then, a very distinguished-looking man came up the steps and asked him why he was crying, and the little boy told him he was too dirty to go inside the church. So the man just held out his hand, and he said, "Then put your hand in mine." So the little boy did. And hand in hand, they walked up the steps. They came to the front door that had been closed. Now it was flung wide open. Hand in hand, they walked down the center aisle. When they came to the front row, the man put the little boy in the front row. Then the man climbed up on the platform and stood in the pulpit and began to preach. The man was Dr. D.L. Moody. The only way the little boy got inside that church was because he was holding the hand of Dr. Moody. He was too dirty in himself to be admitted inside. And the only way anyone ever gets into heaven is because they're holding the hand of Jesus. You and I are too dirty in sin in ourselves, which is why God sent Jesus Christ. And he sent him to the cross, and it's at the cross that Jesus extends his hand to you and to me. And he says, "Just put your hand of faith in mine." And when you put your hand of faith in the hand of Jesus, you walk with him through life. When it comes time to step into eternity, the door of heaven is flung wide open for you, and you can walk right inside, accepted by God, because you're holding the hand of his Son. In fact, you will be as accepted in heaven as Jesus is. The only way anyone's ever accepted in heaven, it doesn't matter if you're Billy Graham, or if you're Pope Benedict, or if you're Mother Teresa, or if you're someone who's graciously served us at lunch, or if you're the homeless person sleeping on the bench I saw beside the harbor this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. The only way, the Bible says, anyone ever gets into heaven is because they're holding the hand of Jesus. And Jesus has come to announce good news. He's extended his hand to you at the cross. And you can put your hand of faith in his, confess and repent of your sin, ask him to be your Savior, come into your life, surrender control to him, and you can be assured that when you die, and you put your head on that pillow tonight, that it doesn't matter if by morning you've stepped into eternity, you step right into your Father's house, and you're accepted by God because you have favor with him through faith in Jesus Christ. So there is good news. Jesus has come to offer you and me favor with God. In one of his plays, Alexander Solzhenitsyn has as one of his central characters a man who had lived only for the moment and only for his own pleasure. Now he's dying. And as he looks out over his life, he realizes just how empty it's been, how unprepared he is for eternity. Then he says to those gathered around his bed, "The moment when it's terrible to feel regret is when one is dying. How should one live in order to not feel regret when one is dying?" Let me ask you, will you die with regret? 5 minutes before you die, what will you wish you had done differently? Is it possible to live without regret? Is it possible to die without regret? Yes, 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 it's possible. When you accept God's offer of good news in Jesus Christ, because you understand God has a plan for your life, and life's greatest joy is in fulfilling God's plan for your life and getting to know him in the process through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus offers you a personal relationship with a living God. After Jesus had read the words of Isaiah the prophet in that synagogue, after he had announced the good news, the Bible says, he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he said to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus didn't just come to bring good news. Jesus Christ is the good news. And today, through faith in Jesus Christ, you can have forgiveness of sin. You can have freedom from the oppression of the human spirit. You can have favor with God. Jesus offers you himself. Will you take him up on his offer? Thank you, and God bless you.